Esse é um exclusivo da nossa. Da nossa.
Amor, amor, não guarde mágoa. Escute essa canção.
Por isso, escute ela e tenha reconhecimento do amor que está sendo por você.
Demorou. Só dá lembrança do amor para ela, DJ.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 230. I am Cheapy D, and I am here in Tokyo, Japan, and as always, joined by the wonderful Wombat.
That is true. I am wonderful.
And sensational Shipwreck.
Ooh, I like that. I'm like Spider-Man.
It's like we're,
the version
I was going to say,
reads.
It's like we're Stan Lee characters.
Is there really a sensational Spider-Man?
Yes,
there was.
Since the 80s, at least.
I was going to say, is there still one, or is it only an 80s thing? I mean, I don't know either.
Why would they switch from Amazing to Sensational?
No, they didn't switch. It was another one. Like, they would, one week, Amazing Spider-Man would come out, and the next week, Sensational Spider-Man would come out, and the two storylines had nothing to do with each other.
And you also had Web of Spider-Man at the same time, too.
Yes.
And Peter Parker Spider-Man.
No, it was Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Okay, that's right. That was the same one. That's the one I usually read, actually.
And Peter Porker.
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham, right.
I like Spider-Ham.
Figures you would.
I like Spider-Ham and Rye.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to the show, everybody. We've got, I'd love to tell you that we have a lot of really exciting topics to talk about, and that Wombat went to an event, but... Well, he did go to an event, but it's embargoed.
Till Monday.
Till next Monday.
What's it about?
Not this Monday.
Brink. I could say that, right?
Of course.
Yeah, it's about Brink.
Why does an event that took place this week, beginning of this week, right?
It took place Thursday. Right after we did the last show.
Oh, last week.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that need to be embargoed till the end of the month?
What do I look like, the answer man?
Yeah, it seems very silly to me.
It's so Wombat can formulate his articles and all his coverage on it, and he has plenty of time to put all his thoughts down.
He needs 2 weeks.
And I will.
So, I don't know, but we do have a lot of other stuff to talk about. I was just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Not kidding. But anyway, I guess we should start with, I don't know, anyone have anything exciting to say? I don't. Particularly.
No, nothing too thrilling.
I had lunch with Dale North from Destructoid this week.
Nice.
He's a pretty interesting guy. I don't know if I didn't know a lot about him, but he grew up here. He grew up in Tokyo. Who knew?
I didn't. I know now, though. I appreciate you informing me.
He's a musician. He likes hamburgers and tacos.
I thought you were about to say you like hand jobs. It's like, that's really personal.
Well, everybody likes hand jobs.
I was going to say.
Well, not everybody, really actually.
Well, you know, I think there are things that people may prefer more than hand jobs.
Right.
But I don't think anyone doesn't like a hand job.
Like sleeping?
Exactly.
So anyway, I guess we should just go right into the show feedback from last week, Wombat.
Yes. Let's see what we got here. We have... There we go. GT Master 39 says, sounds like Cheapy's lost that loving feeling for the show. Take that ball and run with it, Wombat. Getting tired of Cheapy's negative attitude. This was one of many quotes, many comments from people saying that, Cheapy, you just don't sound like you're in it anymore. And I want to say that I think you need to turn your inner frown upside down and you need to get back in the game.
Well, lately something happened and I've been very tired. For the last 2 weeks, but I'm not tired anymore. So I should be very full of energy now.
And I want you to tell everyone.
So you ran out of weed? Is that what happened?
What?
No, that's crazy.
That's crazy talk. What are you talking? What you talking about, Shipwreck?
I want you to tell our listeners and reaffirm that you're still happy and excited that you host the CADcast.
I am. Of course.
That was about as convincing as Rush Limbaugh apologizing to Obama.
I know. Overall, I do like doing it. It's fun for me to talk to you guys. And I don't know. I mean, there's a problem. I will admit there's a problem. The problem is we've been doing this for a very long time. And it's, you know, it can be a little old, I guess. And there's a lot of interesting technology out there that I would like to maybe implement. You know, I like doing the live shows, but we just can't, you know, we just can't nail it, basically, because I don't know if it's because I'm in Japan and you guys are in the US and there's just like too much lag, but it just the quality is just not there when we do it. I would like to do maybe something video related, but I don't want to actually sit there and edit the video and render the video and all that.
I have
stuff
a green screen now.
I saw that on Twitter. You have a huge green screen.
Yeah, like takes up an entire room in my house.
Well, luckily, luckily you have like 30 rooms in that house, so.
So I'll be doing some videos. We That's have people good. That will do video editing for us.
Right.
You just need to do the videos and send it off to the people who do the video editing.
We do. Okay. Well, what kind of video should I be doing?
Whatever you want. You're cheap ED.
Yeah.
Do what makes you happy.
There's nothing wrong with doing something a little extracurricular on the side to help bring the energy to the show. I mean, I do my live chat just about every Sunday. I didn't do one this weekend because it was a holiday, but I think since November, I've missed 2 weeks where I haven't done my little live show.
Right.
And I enjoy it very much.
No, I've missed every one of those live shows but one.
Yes, I know. You went to one. I think Cheapy maybe went to two.
Probably more. I don't know, always, you know, chime in when I'm there. Sometimes I just want to see what you're up to in the background. I don't want to draw attention
to
myself.
Gotcha. You kind of want to look. I like to think that you're looking on as a proud parent would.
I just want to see, I'm just making a list of all the errors you make in each broadcast.
But there are no errors because it's not that kind of show.
Right, because you're talking about what you had for lunch.
Yeah, it's usually like, let me tell you what I cooked for dinner and how I cooked it.
Somehow I think you managed to fuck that up, though.
I probably do.
Blue, no red. thank you. Okay, GT Master, I will try to turn it around. I still will be critical when I need to be, but I will. I should have more energy.
High energy.
It's
you need
not
that piece of paper.
It's not a question. I don't think it's a question of being critical or even your energy. I think the concern from our listeners was that you just don't want to do the show anymore.
That's not true. If I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't do it.
I know that, and Shipwreck knows that.
I have no contractual obligation to anybody to continue doing the show.
No, you do not.
No.
So, thank you. Yes. I appreciate it.
What else we got?
Shock and Awe says, a few ideas to get more people to listen. Have someone with different tastes in games on the show.
Nope.
Don't waste 5 minutes or seconds talking about games no one cares about.
Maybe.
Probably not. Nope.
Probably not. That's Shipwreck's job. Otherwise,
I think more in talks about plenty that people don't care about too. So
true. That's true.
I think we all do. I think we're all.
Not me. I am always interesting.
That's the contradiction in those two statements.
You
someone added with
different a section
taste in games, and then don't waste time on games nobody cares about. You can't have both of those.
I don't get.
I added a section. More, what?
Oh, you added a section for iPad games, let alone games no one cares about.
You don't think people care about those games?
Not the ones you talk about. More in-depth discussion.
Wait till you hear what I got lined up this week.
I do have something thrilling. Inspector Gadget, the game?
Yep.
That's crazy.
And it's free.
More contests. We do a contest pretty much like almost every other show we have a contest.
We've been slacking in the contest area.
That's and mainly my fault. I'll take the blame on that. I've been really busy. That's why there haven't been a lot of reviews that have been posted. I have about probably 10 reviews that are about 75% done, but I just haven't had time to polish them off.
You should give those half-finished or 75% finished reviews to Wombat, and then people can guess which part Wombat did.
Mine's the part written in crayon.
Yours is the part where you mess up what you had for lunch.
Exactly. Do a game of the month or game you should be playing this week segment.
Nope.
Which isn't a... It's not a terrible idea, but here's the, and this also leads to, there are a lot of people that think that the reason why we don't have 100,000 listeners has to do with our show's quality.
Quality? What quality?
That's part of it. I don't think that's the reason why we don't have 100,000 listeners.
You mean the quality of our discussion, not the quality of the production?
Yeah, like if our show was a better show, we'd have more listeners.
Name some video game podcasts that are better than ours.
None and none.
Well, if you listen to a lot, though.
I listen to like three.
Oh.
Is that a lot?
Sure, it's three more than I listen to.
You know what it is? I listen to more comedy podcasts now than I do video game podcasts. And I think that a lot of those are better than our show. But I think that has a lot to do with they have some incredibly high profile guests with really interesting stories.
Right.
And if, you know, and if we were able to get, you know, I don't know, who did I listen to today? You know,
Major
Reggie
Nelson?
Watts. Well, no, I mean like famous people on our show.
Yeah, but they're not coming on our show, a video game show.
Well, that's just
20,000 people listen to.
That's the problem. We need to get someone. I think we need to get a big star on the show.
Like what? No, we're a show about video games. That's the problem.
That is the problem.
That's
one of the problems.
That's the problem with the listenership. I like that we're a show about video games. That's most of the time about video games, but oftentimes
some of the time.
Not. Yeah. I'm fine with our format.
All right. Shipwreck says it's fine. We don't need more listeners. I don't care. Either way, it's fine. Listen or don't.
Go get the stars. Go get the stars lined up, Wombat.
I'll get us a star.
Larry Kenny.
Who did I ask? Oh, I asked Doug Benson. He said no.
Never heard of him.
The only reason I've heard of him is because Wombat talks about him.
I do. I like his show very, very much. It's very funny to me. But he said no. So what can you do?
Go for Larry Kenny.
But he actually responded. Larry Kenny would come on.
Is he still alive?
Of course he is.
Oh, good.
He just did work, Matt Schwartz. I wish I knew his CAG name. He's emailed you a couple of times. He's a big listener. He just did some work. He's a producer. He just did some work with Larry Kenny.
Sweet. Larry Kenny was the voice of Lion-O and the host for Bowling for Dollars.
Yes, he was.
I guess we can move right into the new release segment. And Buff Marte writes in via Twitter, and he says, this may be the manliest week ever for video games. Bulletstorm and Killzone 3 on the same day? Mangasm.
All right.
This is where...
Oh, am I supposed to have a response to that?
This is me now?
This is you. It's your time.
All right. I've played a lot of Bulletstorm.
Oh, good.
Probably, I wouldn't say... I've played about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I'm almost through the second act, I think. I think there's 6 or 7 acts total, so I'm about a third of the way through the game. I've got mixed feelings about it. It's a very competent first-person shooter that throws in these kind of gimmicks that allow you to have these skill kills. So in addition to shooting people, you can also kick them or grab them with your little leash whip and pull them towards you.
Electro whip. That's not what it's called, though.
No, I think it's just leash is what they call it. So
there's a demo on there's a demo up at least on Xbox.
There is.
It's on both. It's on both.
It's good. I got to play more of it to see if it gets more crazy. Right now, it just feels like a slightly more crazy Gears of War, like except it doesn't have cover. Like you see stuff that you should be able to take cover behind, but since it's a faster paced game, it's just stuff you have to press A to jump over.
Yeah, the demo didn't really do it for me, but I see it's been getting good reviews, so I decided to order it anyway.
I think you'll have fun with it. It's a fun game. I just feel you have all these different skill kills, and that's kind of the – like you have these lists that show which ones you've done and everything. So that's kind of the meta game within it is that you're trying to get complete all these skill kills because they give you extra points, and then you can put those points into upgrading your weapons and your leash and everything. But – I don't know. Like, I feel like I've kind of got the gist of it. Like, I grab somebody with my leash. I pull them towards me.
You shot them in the nuts.
Yeah, I shoot them. I then kick them. I shoot them some more. And they ram into and impale on themselves on a set of spikes or something.
The reviews seem to say that the beginning of the game, it starts pretty slowly.
It starts really slowly, the first chapter.
So, I don't know. Well, let's talk about it more next week because I'll definitely have played a bunch of it.
Yeah, I don't think you're actually be disappointed with it if you buy it. Like, you know what you're getting into, I think.
Actually, I'm going away next week, so we got to do the show maybe a day earlier.
Going whatever you want, you're the boss. You're going skiing?
Yeah. Going to Hokkaido.
Have fun with that.
With Osaka Grandma and Auntie Keiko.
Yep. Sounds like fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Bulletstorm. I got surprisingly good reviews. I was because I played the demo. I mean, Wombat, you didn't think much of the demo either, did you?
I didn't think the demo was all that spectacular, but the reviews don't surprise me.
Right.
The game is better than the demo because it constantly feels like you're moving forward. Like, it's got a very good pacing to it. It just seems like you're sprinting through most of the game, which I kind of like, but I'm mixed up right now.
It's got a slightly better Metacritic score than Killzone 3 right now.
What is Knight's Contract?
I have that. It came in the mail yesterday. I have not played it yet. It's the new Namco Bandai published game by the guys who do Genji and Majin in the Forsaken Kingdom.
Oh.
What's the name of that company? Game Factory? Is that company? No, that's not right.
I'm
I don't sure know. Somebody look that up. But Knight's Contract, I haven't played that at all. And I haven't played Killzone 3 yet. Has
Game
anybody...
Republic?
Game Republic, that's them. Have we played Killzone 3, any of us?
No, I ordered that too. I ordered that with Bulletstorm from PlayAsia.
I will probably order it here if I don't get a review copy in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to playing Killzone. I even got a gun attachment accessory thing for my move controller in the mail this week.
So you got the sharpshooter or you got the other one?
I got the Precision Shot 3. It's made
by the hand.
It's like a handgun. It kind of looks like a RoboCop style of gun.
I don't know. It sounds like the sharpshooter thing is where it's at.
I saw the sharpshooter in action. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it looks cool. And I just watched the video review of it, and the guy's using the sharpshooter. It looks cool. I think, like, you know, using that thing with the 3D glasses, I could probably have a seizure pretty quickly.
Just what you need.
I need a seizure. Wait till you hear what the show sounds like if I have a seizure. I think I wasn't into it last couple of weeks. I don't know. But I don't think it's coming out in Japan, so... And I don't know if shipping it over here makes a lot of sense, but we'll see.
Yeah, so I'll talk about Killzone 3 next week, I'm sure, because I'm definitely looking forward to playing it.
Yep.
I did play some of Dreamcast Collection that came out. I put a review up for that.
Yes.
I saw. What a piece of shit.
It's kind of disappointing. I wouldn't call it a piece of shit, but it is. It's an odd product because it's just one of those Xbox Live Arcade compilations that puts Sonic Adventure and Crazy Taxi, which have already been released. And then there's Space Channel 5 Part 2 and Sega Bass Fishing, which aren't out on Xbox Live Arcade yet, but are coming soon.
And when people think of Sega games, Dreamcast games that they want to be playing, they want to be playing that Sega Bass Fishing.
It's not that bad of a game, but it is an odd one.
It's still fishing.
It is still fishing. But it's got a great announcer. The announcers. Have you ever played that game?
What does he say?
Well, he starts the game off with, like, he's got kind of a British accent, so I'm not going to be able to do a British accent.
Hello, you want some bass?
Yeah, pretty much. He's, enjoy your fishing. Something like
what
that.
What is this, bass fishing?
Yes, it is.
Hello, why am I in a bass fishing game?
But then as soon as you get a bass on your hook, he just screams out, and it spells it out on the screen. Fish! And then this this really high-pitched, like, really bad 80s metal rock starts playing as you're trying to reel this fish in. It's just great. It's bizarre.
Nice.
And then Space Channel 5 Part 2, that's a fun game. I forgot that there was a scene where Ooh La La, the scantily clad reporter, gets picked up by a tentacled monster. And she starts saying, oh, not there, and stuff like that. So I forgot all about the tentacled scene.
So. Is that the one with Michael Jackson in it?
Yes, Space Michael is in this. You have to rescue him.
Okay, but he's still there?
Yeah, he's still there. He was in both games. He made a cameo in the first game, and he's like pretty major in the second game.
And doesn't he get attacked by a tentacle monster? And he's like, ooh, there.
Yes.
Fish! Happens.
Fish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's Dreamcast Collection. Let's see what else came out this week. For Xbox Live Arcade, Bejeweled Blitz Live came out. That's the play Bejeweled for a minute and see how well you do game.
Online.
Yeah.
Again, somebody.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Me too. I'm going to pick up Pac-Man next week when it's half price, though.
Oh, yeah, so am I. That's what I voted for. Did you vote for
me
it?
Me too.
I did too. I voted for
Speaking of that, did you guys see the the awards you could vote for on Xbox Live Arcade for the Live Arcade Games of the Year.
Yep.
That is a weird system they have going there.
Basically, I didn't quite understand it.
Two choices for each category. So like for Game of the Year on Xbox Live Arcade, you could choose between Limbo or Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
Yeah, but there's one category where they show, normally they're just showing two, you know, quote unquote box covers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one category where there's like three box covers behind, or two box covers behind one of the games.
Yes.
What's happening there?
That is the award for innovation. And one of them that's just by itself, I think that's Pac-Man. And then the other three are the Xbox Home for the Holidays games. Is that the promotion? It's like Ilo Milo and Kingdom World of Keflings.
But you don't see those. You only see the Ilo Milo, right?
Or no, randomly? You can kind of see them behind there.
Oh, okay.
It's an odd way of doing it, but yeah.
I voted for the other one, whatever the other one was.
I think it was Pac-Man. But
Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, I just thought that was an odd way of voting because I didn't necessarily think Limbo was the game of the year. Like, I would have voted for Super Meat Boy, which was nominated in a bunch of other categories.
But it was Limbo versus Lara Croft?
No. Yeah, for the game of the year.
Yeah, I voted for Limbo.
And I wouldn't pick either one of those.
By the way, can't make fun of the Cheapy Awards being late when Microsoft is doing their game of the year and they're, you know, same time frame.
I expect that kind of shoddy behavior from Microsoft. Right. I expect better from you.
That's way off.
I don't know. They're the world's largest software developer, and half the time my Xbox doesn't go online automatically. So, yes, I think the two are related. Don't ask me how.
All right.
Did we mention that we haven't played Killzone 3? Because I want to make sure all the PlayStation 3 lovers know that we haven't played it.
Yeah, have not played it. I ordered it, though. It's coming. I'll have it probably tomorrow.
Good. And then, let's see. The Blob 2 came out. Whatever.
I think we're done with new releases.
Sure. Let's move on. That's a lot of new releases.
I was going to say, there's really nothing else to talk about.
Nope. There's some new Need for Speed Hot Pursuit DLC.
That's phenomenal. I saw your little screenshot that when you buy it, you get a little thank you card.
Well, it was actually from some other DLC that I bought from them, but I didn't buy that. I didn't buy the new one because it's just two online game modes, and I don't know. Last time I tried to play an online game on there, I couldn't even find one.
You bought cars.
I bought whatever the cheapest DLC they had was. They had one that was 320 points, and I bought that.
And you have no idea what it is.
It was cars.
Okay.
It was cars. It lets you take some of the cars that were only available as police cars and play them as regular cars.
Fantastic. That seems added content right there.
it was lame. I like the game a lot, and I don't mind throwing them a few bucks extra, you know? But the new DLC is expensive. The new DLC is, I think, $7.
That's the DLC that turns them back into cop cars, right?
That deletes the old DLC. So that's it for new releases. CAG news and stuff, it's just not really CAG related, but I thought I would give them a shout out because they do a lot of stuff on CAG. But Kmart is, they're having a contest, and they will take you with them to E3. And they will pay for your hotel and your travel expenses and give you, per diem, I believe. So just go to kmartgamer.com and you'll see it right on their blog.
They're going to give me what?
Huh?
They're going to give me what?
Per diem?
Per diem. What's that?
Yeah. Do money I want that? Per day.
Money per day.
Okay.
Yeah. And basically, they basically want you to cover E3 for their blog and whatever blog you happen to have or podcast or whatever. So, yeah, it's a good deal. I thought about doing that for CAG, but I didn't want to get stuck with like some toolbox.
You mean like last year?
Last year? I forgot we did it last year. And this boy, man, this guy showed up. This dude, he kept taking all the free stuff that everyone was giving.
Oh my god, everything!
Everything, and he was eating the food off my plate.
Paper bags.
Paper bag. He took a swatch of carpet, I think, from one of the booths.
Yep, he did.
He had a little, he had an X-Acto knife, and he just cut a little piece of carpet off. It was really weird. And
it was a cool logo.
He stuck his tentacle up my butt.
Well, you asked for that.
Well, that was the only good part, but everything else was just horrible, so we won't be doing that again. What was the word we use? Our stop
kazoo.
Word?
Kazoo.
Kazoo. Kazoo.
Anyway, I thought that was cool that Kmart is doing that. So, yeah, just go to kmartgamer.com, and maybe you'll see me and Shipwreck there. Let's see. Shopping news. I forget. I haven't really done any deal stuff like the last several shows. So we'll do some deals very quickly. Fallout New Vegas already down to $30 at GameStop or $20 on the PC, even cheaper. Also, they've got a buy two, get one free used game sale going on at GameStop.com. Just online only, I'm pretty sure. Code is Feb2G1. That ends at the end of this month. And some Sunday ad deals. You can grab... What can you grab? Where are my Sunday ad deals?
There was a Dead Space. Is already dropped down. Not too much, but what, $49.99 at Best Buy? I saw that one.
Yeah, and they have Kingdom Hearts Recoded at $20 at Best Buy. And Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 is $35. I know Walmart.com had Halo Reach and Fable 3 for $30. Those actually aren't Sunday ad deals, but...
And Enslaved for $15 at Kmart.
Yeah, and that's down to... But that's down to $20 everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's wow. A great deal at $20. Saying.
Okay.
You still haven't picked that up, right, Wombat?
No, I bought something else this weekend instead.
Me neither.
We'll talk about what I bought later.
I think you would like it too, Cheapy, but I think Wombat would really enjoy it.
I heard it's in 3D. One of the, I guess, maybe just if you buy the DLC or something.
The DLC is definitely in 3D. I think they might have patched it into the main game as well.
Just on PS3? Or
no, the 360 version has 3D as well, I'm pretty sure, at least for the DLC.
Here we go. Oh, okay. Yeah, look at that. Cool. All right. Oh, it says the DLC will add 3D to both the new side story and the original game, according to Joystick. Maybe I'll check it out.
Maybe. I have a downloadable code for you if you'd like one.
But I don't have the game, though. Oh, okay. If I buy the game, you're saying.
Now you're catching on.
Yeah, I'm fast.
Sure, he gets one.
Well, you don't have the game.
All right.
And I need the 3D.
I have one for you too, Wombat. If you
Then you could give out whatever you want then.
Let's see what else we got here in the world of shopping. Is this I thought was interesting. There was an article on TechDirt, and I actually tweeted it this morning.
Yes.
what are you, Ed McMahon? Now?
Yes, you are correct, sir.
Yes, there was an article. They basically did a little a write-up about the effect that dropping the price of video games has had on revenue. And it's really quite dramatic. And mostly they talk about a digital distribution, Steam and the on iTunes. But one of the examples that they used was Street Fighter 4 for iPhone. And I guess that's a $10 game normally, and they dropped the price down to $1. And the game went from on the grossing chart. You know how they have a chart that just talks about the money side, not it's the sales numbers, but it went from 116 to 2. And that's money. That's the important metric. Not the sales numbers, the money. So that's pretty amazing. And we've always been saying this for a long time.
Well, the thing that I've been saying since the dawn of time.
Yes.
And by the dawn of time, I mean probably a few months ago.
Yes.
Is that there's games from when the Xbox 360 launched that are still full price, in the Xbox Live Arcade that are still full price. And I guarantee you there are games in there that no one has bought since the week they were released.
A lot, probably.
And those games should all be $2.
We've had this argument before, though, because then that cannibalizes the new releases. on Xbox Live Arcade.
Does it? That's like
it
saying
might not, though.
That's like saying Enslaved shouldn't drop down to $20 because then no one's gonna buy Bulletstorm.
But they have
to buy the next Namco game.
But they have a contained market on Xbox Live Arcade.
It might be. I mean, I'm sure that's what Microsoft's reasoning is, or and PlayStation 2 or whatever. But it might they might be overthinking it, like Wombat says.
Because it works so well for Steam. That's what we're looking at it right now. It works for Steam. Why would it not work for the Xbox Live Arcade?
Okay. They could try. Yes. I mean, I like the little $5 sales that they have every week, it seems like now.
Yeah, and it's nice that they have that once a week. But, you know, there are games that are, you know, why isn't Dig Dug $2? Who's buying Dig Dug?
Good question. Well, I'll put the link to the article in the show notes, but it's at techdirt.com if you can't wait.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I don't know where to find it right now. But if you look at the list of games on the Xbox Live Arcade and how much garbage there is and how much they charge for it, it's pretty amazing that there are still some of these games that are $10 that probably have not been purchased by anyone in maybe 2 years.
I think, and maybe the next generation, they might fix that. I don't think the Xbox Live Arcade or PSN is really built for rapidly changing prices on things. That's where Steam and the iTunes Store, like they can change prices and drop it for like a day, and then that boosts them back up the charts. And then
it seems like it's the kind of thing that they could put that
price.
It seems like the kind of thing that they could fix when they change my dashboard to go from that sleek-looking cool silver to white squares. If they could fuck that up, why can't they add dropping prices too?
No, he's talking about from the publisher side.
Obviously it would need to be a combined choice. So why, you know, it just seems silly that there's so much there that still costs so much when there is definitely money to be made, as Cheapy just pointed out, by dropping the prices on these games that are 2-3 years old.
And of course, the lower prices of new games also, or even, you know, of any games, the lower the prices are, the less chance that people are going to buy those games used. It's a great way to kill off the used game market if that's a desired goal for the publishers, which it sounds like it usually is with these online passes and whatnot. I don't know. Might be some food for thought there. Let's move on to multi-platforming.
I'm looking at best-selling games today on the Xbox Live Arcade, and I'm going to go to, let's see, how many pages are there? Page. I'm on page, Hexic 3D. Well, I don't think that counts. But let's see. I wonder when the last time someone bought Puzzle Chronicles was.
Chronicles? I don't even recall that game.
Or Wing Commander Arena. Or, let's see.
Battlestar Galactica.
You know, it's interesting. Ms. Explosion Man is on there. Is on the last page. Mr. Driller Online. Mutant Storm Reloaded. Blazing Birds. Screw Jumper from 2007. Mutant Storm Reloaded is from 2005. And still costs
$40.
$5.
Is it $5?
I'm sure that's what all the games were back in 2005.
It won't let me because apparently I've already purchased it. But,
you go,
funny.
Girl. You go.
Yeah, Puzzle Chronicles is... that's a $10 game.
Yeah, that came out like, what, last year?
It came out last year, but who's buying it? No one. Or how about Kix++ from 2009? That game is also...
Must be... Microsoft must have something in place that makes it really hard for publishers to change the prices of the games once it comes
Kix
out.
Kix not only does it... It has two expansion packs. It's still $10 with two 240-point expansion packs.
Pretty exciting.
It's not exciting. I'm just saying it just seems stupid.
Yeah, it does seem stupid.
It's leaving money on the table.
At the same time, Microsoft's playing for that bandwidth, right?
They're getting the money, though, also.
I pay them each year. I give them money. I give them $50 a year, approximately,
right,
for their bandwidth. So, no, You're wrong. I'm paying for it.
All right. Let's do a quick plug for our friends at GoDaddy.com, Wombat.
$10 off any order, keg 10. $5 off your $30 order, keg 5 off 30. $7.49 domains, keg domain.
Right. So that's for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. GoDaddy.com. All right, let's move on to multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff.
I got a new game this weekend.
I see that.
I did. Well, I was at the store. I had a coupon at Best Buy, 10% off any game. And I'm like, I want to use this coupon. But
so
I wanted
you
to get
spun around in circles.
I did.
You bought the first thing you pointed at.
Pretty much. No, I read very good reviews for Toy Story 3.
I actually thought about buying this game.
And I wanted to get something that I could play with Sabrina in the room.
Right.
So I got Toy Story 3. And let me tell you, the toy box open world mode, I haven't even touched the store yet. The sandbox open world is awesome and addictive fun.
Did you get the PS3 version?
No, I got the 360 version.
You get to play as Zurg if you buy the PS3 version.
Oh, well, you know, that changes everything. But I am enjoying it immensely.
Cool.
Yeah.
It looks really good. I mean, trust me, like, Ty loves Toy Story.
Here's my little warning, and I don't know if Ty is as sensitive to these things as Sabrina. One of the worlds you can open up in the toy box is a haunted house world, and that scared the bejesus out of Sabrina.
I thought you were going to say it was Nazi Germany or something.
No, it's just scary. It's just, there's a haunted house, and everything goes, you know, and the colors are darker. It looks like night, and there's occasional lightning. That was scary enough for Sabrina to go, I think you need to turn this off. And I'm like, okay, I'll turn it off. And then I had to I closed off that section before we turned it on again so she could see all the sunshine. And she just likes Woody and Buzz. She just wants to see Woody and Buzz. That's
all
she cares about.
I'm waiting for it to get cheap.
What do they do in this? Like, what actually makes this better than any other licensed kids game?
What's really awesome, it's kind of a combination between a kingdom, actually more like a world of Keflings, meets Grand Theft Auto. You start off with your one basic center world where you have the piggy bank, John Ratzenberger, and you talk to him and he gives you a mission, you know, like paint this house blue, and that's like, and you get coins. So you paint the house blue, you get your coins, and that opens up Al's toy shop, and then you could buy more buildings for the town you're in.
This is the
toy box. And there's little, like, they look sort of like little people action figures that kind of walk around, and you could change their outfit, so you could make one look like a pirate, and also the little green aliens are walking around, you can make the little green alien look like a vampire, and whatever you want to, you know, there's a lot of customization and fun you can have with all the characters.
Welcome to the section of the show, 5 minutes on a game nobody cares about.
Hey, you asked the question.
I actually care about it, and I'm going to buy it once it's cheap enough. It's
$30.
It's not cheap enough for me.
That's
$30 for you. It's not $30 for me.
Well, I was going to say, it was $30 plus 10% off, so it came out to be like $27. And you get more missions. Some of them are more challenging than others. They're not all just, you know, paint the house blue. Some of them are, you know, find these things or move these things. There's some platform levels that you need to do. And for 5,000 gold coins, you can open up the different worlds. Like I mentioned, the haunted house world. And when you get there, the guy tells you, you know, oh, I need you to go up to the roof and get the lightning rod, the dinosaur, the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Okay.
And you go up.
Don't spoil anything. Yeah, let's move on. Hey.
Yes, exactly.
Remember when the guy tells you to move on to the next game?
Yes, and there's some interesting platforming mixed in with this Grand Theft Auto style open world.
No, I mean, let's move on. Let's.
I know, and it's unique. I'm wrapping it up, and it's unique and creative. And now,
where's that wrap it up button from the Chappelle Show?
Exactly. Go wrap it up.
It does sound cool. You know what you should do? Go to YouTube and look at some gameplay videos. It looks really good,
and it's fun. I highly recommend it.
Okay, Dragon Age 2 demo came out.
I played it.
I watched my wife play it.
What did she think, actually? I'm very interested to know her thoughts.
She did not like the fact that she died 6 times against the second ogre and then turned the game off.
I didn't like the fact that I died 1 time against the second ogre and then I turned it off.
I died once against the ogre and I didn't turn it off. I finished the demo. I find it interesting that you can't adjust the difficulty in the demo.
So I don't know if I like that game.
I don't think that I like it either.
It's not for you guys. It's definitely, if you didn't like the first one, and I don't think either one of you did, you're not going to like this, because it's still very much Dragon Age.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It's not a Mass Effect enough for me.
They did definitely Mass Effect 2 it a lot, though.
But like not enough.
No, they changed the level up system where it's a lot simpler, I would say, and a little more streamlined. And it does have that real-time action. But they kept in all of the, you know, hold this to pause the action and select your spell and hit the button. I played as a mage because I think the game also plays better. My problem with the game is that if you play as a warrior type, the special moves don't feel particularly special, especially in this new system where you hit the A button to actually swing the sword. So to hit the one button to shield bash just doesn't feel as special as, say, hitting the button to have it rain fire from the sky.
I think my issue, too, with the melee stuff is that half the time it just looks like you're not connecting with anything. Like, I know it's doing all the math in the background, but it just looks like I'm swinging in air.
Yeah, I can understand that, too. And that's
plus,
why
like, everybody crowds around, and it's hard to see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I think the game looks infinitely better than the first one did.
Sure.
It definitely does. I obviously am very much looking forward to playing it because there's something about the first one that I really enjoyed. And I think there's that from what I've played of it, of the demo and what I played, you know, a week ago, it vastly improves on the things I had issues with in the last game. But I need to play the full game before I know if it is actually better.
Really weird demo. Like the stuff that they lock you out of. Like you can't use inventory.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I really wanted to see was because there were way too many tabs in the last inventory menu. Like I don't need 9 tabs of inventory. So it'll be interesting to see if they were able to streamline that any better. But again, you know, it's the class system doesn't really work in the sense that it would be cool if I could be a warrior and one of the things that I had at my disposal was throw a fireball. But I have to be a mage to throw a fireball or throw lightning. And those are like the only special moves that, you know, they're full screen effect spells that if you don't play as a mage, you don't see with any other character, you know, and even that's true of the first game also. You know, I had a spell that when I did it, pillars of fire came from underground and circled the screen for like 2 minutes. And it was awesome because it would be like, oh, ogre, I'm going to shoot pillars of fire from underground and you're going to die. But if you're a warrior, what's the best thing you got? Oh, I got double shield bash.
Well, yeah, I took a mage too.
Can't you always just swap to the mage that's in your party?
Yep.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to play as, you know, not you.
Yeah, why not?
Because I don't like that. I want to play as me. That's the character I'm playing.
Oh, I like the whole party thing.
See, I'm not. I don't do that. I never switch to other members of my party and play as them.
That's why I didn't like Baldur's Gate, the original Baldur's Gate. Right, you had to only be really one person.
See, I like being one person.
But I think when Icewind Dale came out, they let you do the whole party, and that's why I liked Icewind Dale better.
I guess it's all about preference.
All right, so Wombat liked it.
Yeah. The cutscenes are weird, too, though. Like, it just, there's no transition between, like, when you're fighting and then all of a sudden you're in a cutscene.
Well, like, I think that was mid-fight. The demo.
It was kind of like that in the first game, too, though.
Well, no, because it wouldn't transfer to a cutscene until everyone was dead. And then you could pick stuff up.
That's right. But now it cuts it into it while you're still fighting. It's weird.
If you say so.
That's what I saw.
I don't know. I saw the chick in the second half of the demo with the gigantic tits. Did she get to that part? Or
nope.
No? See, there you go. There's your incentive to finish that to finish the fight with the ogre.
I'll go tell
not
my
a
wife
big
that.
Fan. Not a big fan of giant video game tits. Gotta tell you that.
It's kind of cool.
What does Justin McElroy call them?
I don't know.
Booberoops.
What was the demo he was playing?
Oh, it's Two Worlds. It's Two Worlds 2. It's the Sorceress.
It's Two Worlds. And he said his wife, he said, every time my wife walks in and I'm playing a game where there's a sorceress swinging her giant booberoops in my face, I die a little on the inside.
It's kind of true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's stupid, too. It's like, I'd rather have more realistic looking booberoops.
Boobs.
Yeah, I don't need like who needs triple D video game breasts.
It is a little distracting because I didn't hear even as a video game character, I don't think I heard a word the character said because there's part of me that's like, you even start thinking about it like someone had to consciously come up with that body,
right?
Someone had to design that.
Someone looked at another giant pair of tits and said, these tits are not big enough.
Basically,
we need to go bigger.
Yes. And anyone who's gotten to that part of the demo knows what I'm talking about.
Well, now a lot of people are going to be gunning for that. What else we got in the multi-platforming area?
I played more Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I barely played that last week when it came out.
Okay.
So have you guys gotten it yet?
I don't think I'm getting it.
Not going to get it?
I'll price drop.
I'll wait to see. Yeah, it's going to drop in price fast, I'm sure.
Okay. It's a very fun game. I've gotten more used to the combo system now and everything. The thing is, if I go online, I just get myself handed. Like, it's terrible. I get knocked up in the air and then they do like a team combo on me and then I'm pretty much dead right away.
Right.
And the online matching, it's maybe one out of every three matches I actually get to play. Like, the rest of them just time out and send me back into the menu, which isn't that bad. Like, I think I got in 6 matches in a half hour is what I've been averaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to beat the last boss, Galactus, because he's one of those bosses where he's super huge and you're just like punching his hands.
Yeah. I watched the video of that on the Xbox dashboard. There's mm-hmm. a video on how to beat Galactus. I figured I'd just watch it. But yeah, I don't know.
They need to not do that in fighting games. Like
I've been playing it all the way up through,
like against these 3-on-3 teams. And then all of a sudden I have to fight this big guy who can pretty much kill my character in one swoop.
And yeah, it's like Seth in the last one. In Street Fighter. So annoying.
Yeah. Seth took up a whole screen, though? I thought he was normal size.
No. I mean, in that, the difficulty was way, way high.
Okay. Well, I don't mind the difficulty being high in the last boss. I just like him to be consistent.
Regular size.
Yeah, just make him somebody I can actually fight normal. The other thing with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, it does a very poor job of teaching you the mechanics of the game. And there's not much in the way of extras. Like, you have a mission mode, which is similar. I think Street Fighter had the same exact mode where you just go in and like the first mission is throw a fireball. And then the second mission is do an uppercut.
Yeah, but for each character to help you learn the moves.
Yeah, but like by the fourth thing that you've done with that character, all of a sudden there's like a list of 8 different like actions that it just tells you the name of the move up on the screen. And then you have to like back out of that and look at the menu to see what in the world you have to do this move. And by the end of it, I was getting through these things. I was getting up to maybe like the 5th or 6th mission on most characters. But
I was, it was impossible.
I was doing it by actually looking down at my controller and hitting the buttons while I was looking at the controller. Not even looking at the screen, because I have no hope of looking at the screen and seeing what's going on and actually hitting these buttons. It doesn't give you any hints on timing or anything. It's just like,
that's the thing. Yeah, that was the problem. That was the problem with the Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 4 also, because I would try to learn the moves for these characters, and I would get to like 5 or 6, and when they started doing these combos, it's all based on like frame animation, but they don't tell you that. I just gave up. I don't know. Not for me, I don't think.
Yeah, so it's a very fun game on its base level, but I'm never going to be very good at it.
Right. I added something here I wanted to bring up. So remember, I guess it was last week, we talked a little bit about Dead Island and the trailer that they released and sort of catching on fire.
Yes.
And I always thought, like, that was just like a CG trailer. There's no gameplay in there. And, you know, a lot of companies do that. Like Mass Effect 3, they released a CG trailer. And almost every big release, they do that. And I was wondering, like, is it really worth that kind of expenditure? Because you know how much it costs to make, like, a two-minute CG movie to promote a video game?
I would say in Deep Silver's case, yes, it was definitely worth it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's because it costs, you know, $500,000 to $1 million to put something like that. But for Dead Island, they got a ton of traffic. They got 100,000 fans on their Facebook page. They got 2.7 million views on YouTube. It got a lot of coverage from the mainstream press. So I used to think that these CG videos were just a big waste of money, but I guess, you know, $1 million or $500,000 to get that type of attention, is that, I don't know. Actually, maybe it still is a waste of money. How much does a Super Bowl commercial cost?
Those are like $6 million.
Oh. This commercial wouldn't fly during the Super Bowl, though.
No, but it's too long anyway. That, and it makes me too sad. So
right. Anyway, let's...
You guys don't have daughters, you wouldn't understand.
No, but if they get that kind of emotion into the game, like, that's the main thing. Like, I don't care if it looks like that. I don't care.
Well, here's my problem.
As long as it has that emotion in the game.
I don't want to play a game with that emotion.
You don't?
No. I don't want a game that makes me sad.
But you want a game that makes you care.
Yeah, there's a difference between caring and depressing.
Well, maybe it wouldn't be depressing if you're playing it. It's sort of a different experience.
I don't know. It's, you know, do I, you know, oh, I, just because the game doesn't make me sad doesn't mean I don't care about I care about Commander Shepard. I didn't want any of my crewmates to die in Mass Effect 2.
Right.
I care.
There's room for a game that's depressing, though.
I'm not saying there's room for it. I just don't want to play that game.
I might want to play it.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like to be sad.
I know.
I get sad when I watch, like, any TV show.
That's because you live alone in a cave.
It's a nice cave, though.
It is a nice cave.
It's a really nice cave. Let's do next? Top analysts.
What's next, Yogi?
How about top analysts? All right, so I think we should do, this is where Shipwreck, Wombat, and myself make a prediction, and then we find out if it comes true.
Do we want to do a recap?
Yes, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to give a big shout out to Panther1484, who's got a thread up in the CADcast forum.
Pittsburgh in the house.
And you can see all of our results. So the first week, the only result we have is from Wombat. Wombat predicted that DC Universe Online would be in the top 6 NPDs for January 2011, and he was wrong. It debuted at number 10.
Which is close. I'll take it.
It's close, but you lose.
I do not get the point, but it's not like I said it was going to debut at number 6 and it came in at number 30.
Week number 2, I said that Mass Effect 2 for the PS3 would not break the top 10 for the January NPDs, and I was correct.
Good work.
Wombat said that the number 1 game for January would be a game that was released last year, and he was correct. It was Call of Duty Black Ops. That was a sucker's prediction, though.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. I don't think so. No, not necessarily.
And those are the only points that we have right now. Okay, maybe not. I'm giving you a hard time. But those are the only predictions we've made that we have the results for. But now... we do this week's predictions. Shipwreck, do you have one?
I do. It kind of, we're going to talk about the NPDs as well, so it kind of ties into that a little bit. But
okay, good.
I'm going to say that Call of Duty Black Ops will be the top-selling first-person shooter for the next 3 months in the NPDs.
So you're saying January, February, March?
I'm saying February, March, April.
Interesting. Bold. Oh.
Wow. Okay, hold on. Wait, I got to get my top analyst spreadsheet up here. So Shipwreck says Black Ops will be number one FPS until when?
Through April.
Including April?
Yes. For the next 3 months, no first-person shooter will sell more in a month than Black Ops.
Okay. For MPD, on the mm-hmm, MPD.
For MPD,
okay,
which...
Very good.
It stinks that MPD doesn't split out different platforms anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Killzone has a realistic chance of catching it.
No, but there's a lot of high-profile game FPSs coming out. Bulletstorm and also Crysis.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this leads into my prediction.
Okay, go ahead.
I say on the next NPDs that come out that the sales of Bulletstorm and Killzone February. In February, yes, the when the February NPDs come out, mm-hmm. that the sales of Killzone 3 and Bulletstorm are so close that they are no further than one number apart from each other. So if one's 5, the other is 6.
Okay, Killzone and Bulletstorm, one space apart.
Yes, really no on space NPD. Apart. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know if I don't know if I agree with that either.
You're asking me to make a bold prediction. I'm making my bold. Do you want me to make a boring prediction? I could do that too.
Well, here's mine. These NPD predictions are good because we can get the instant reasonably instant gratification.
It's gratification that at least we could quantify.
Yes, and find out pretty soon. So I have an NPD prediction for February's NPDs. I will say that despite the fact that it came out earlier and is an existing franchise, that Marvel vs. Capcom 3 will not sell as many copies as Bulletstorm.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that one either. It's interesting.
I think Bulletstorm is going to surprise a lot of people with the sales that it does. I think EA does I don't know because I haven't seen any marketing, but
the commercial's awesome.
Knowing what EA does with their marketing, they know how to market a game. And they can turn a game like that Army of Two game, the last Army of Two game, I don't think it was very good, but I think it sold pretty well because they had good commercials. So that's my prediction. Bulletstorm outsells Marvel vs. Capcom 3 in February NPDs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think they're all interesting picks.
Speaking of NPDs, so last month's NPDs came out, January came out, and what do we got that's interesting here? We got, Black Ops number 1, Just Dance for the Wii number 2, Dead Space 2 number 3, selling 452,000 copies, and Little Big Planet 2 number 4. Selling 353,000 copies.
Very respectable numbers for both those games.
Zumba Fitness.
Zumba.
What is Zumba? I never even heard of that.
It's like the new fitness craze.
What is it?
It's like an aerobics thing. It's like...
It's like Billy Blanks?
Like Tybo. Thank you. Yes.
Tybo.
it's like a Caribbean-style dance fitness type thing. They have a really good commercial on TV as well.
Okay. So that's number 5.
It's been selling like crazy. Like, I think Majesco's got to be making bank on that game. Like, it's been on the Amazon top sellers for like, I don't know, since it's come out. It's been
GameStop too.
5 or 6 months at least, right?
Yeah. No, it's a huge selling franchise.
NBA 2K11 number 6, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood number 7, Dance Central number 8, Michael Jackson The Experience number 9, and DC Universe Online number 10. I thought about buying DC Universe. It's finally up on Amazon Japan. I don't know, though. It's expensive.
I don't think you'd like it, and especially even at $10 a month, I don't think you'd like it.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised it only sold 195,000 copies. But, we'll see how it...
we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not.
We'll see.
Shipwreck's not surprised.
40% of the top 10 games this month were dance games.
Scary.
People like to dance.
Let's move on. Now, I notice here that we don't seem to have anything for our usual categories of Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo.
Well, they did release, for Nintendo, they released the 3DS launch games titles.
Yeah, they're horrible.
I like Pilot Wings.
Who's looking to spend $300 so they can play Street Fighter 4 in 3D? On a handheld, on a tiny screen.
Samurai Warriors.
I don't know. I mean, I know the launch lineups are always pretty bad, but usually you have like one thing. one thing that you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to spend this money and I'm going to buy this game and it's going to be worth it.
Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings is that game?
I think it may be. I'm just digging up.
I don't even know what that is.
Isn't it just a remake Pilot Wings? Of the
no.
64 game?
I think so. Well, there was Pilot Wings on the Super Nintendo, and there was Pilot Wings on the, there. Then there was Pilot Wings 64.
Never played it or saw it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, when I used to play the parachuting on the Super Nintendo all the time. It's pretty badass.
I guess it's not a remake of the N64 one, because it has like Miis and stuff in it. But
yeah, see, so that's kind of cool. I am a fan of Pilot Wings.
But that's the 3DS comes out this month in Japan in a couple days.
It's got jetpacks in it. Jetpacks.
That's not doing anything for me. I'm
having a real hard time getting excited about the 3DS. And not just because like I'm not that into handheld gaming. It's just, I don't know. It's still a DS.
What if Inspector Gadget was in it?
Then you might have something. Then you might be talking something. So that brings us to iPhone. And yes, I guess they came out with a new Inspector Gadget game.
Was there an old Inspector Gadget game that I don't know about?
Apparently there is.
There was. I played that one last year. It was like a platforming type of game.
This one is basically a Cannibalt type of game. It's free. It's actually one of these games that is free, but you can... Wait here. I'm going to get... look, here's it even plays the song. Yeah. So it's free, but you can unlock stuff by, you know, in-game, an in-app purchase. One of the interesting things is that you can unlock original episodes of from the show and pretty easily, too. But you collect these coins as you're playing the game and use the coins to unlock stuff, or you can buy the coins with real money.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
I think
right?
I earned enough coins to buy 5 episodes and maybe about 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes worth of playing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not stingy with the coins. Did you actually download any of the episodes?
Mm-mm.
No, me neither. I used to love that show. It was like my favorite show when I was growing up. Despite the fact that Inspector Gadget, I think there was only one episode where he actually was like competent.
Well, that was the joke. I don't know if you knew that.
I know, okay, I know, but I didn't like that joke. I wanted him to be a badass.
I had an awesome... Inspector Gadget action figure / doll.
I know that one. I know
was
that
it
one.
Was it the 12-inch one with all the stuff that popped out?
It was a little bit. It was a little bit taller than 12-inch.
It was a little. It was a little
like
bit. Yeah,
14 inches or so.
Yeah, but
yeah.
That
it was awesome.
I had that. I had that also.
But you couldn't get his one hand to stay in all the time because it was like spring loaded. It would like fly out and punch people. Man, that figure was awesome.
I dressed up as Inspector Gadget for Halloween one year.
I can see that.
I went as Ed Grimley one year.
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that, and that is so sad.
So Inspector Gadget, it's free, so you might as well get it. I think it's called Inspector Gadget or Go-Go Gadget.
Go-Go Gadget.
Go-Go Gadget, okay. And Chipwreck, you played something.
I did. I broke the bank for this one, actually. This is a $3 iPad game. I don't think it's for iPhone as well. But it's Battle Heart.
Mm-hmm.
This was recommended to me by Christina Norman from BioWare. She said she would refund my $3 if I didn't enjoy the game.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It is a fun little kind of RPG tactics style of game where the characters look something like Castle Crashers.
By the way, just to correct you, it's also available for iPhone. It's a universal app for
$3. Okay. I played it on the iPad. And... It's pretty neat. Like you level up your characters. There's some grinding involved because you'll have to play the same level a few times to level up, and then you can recruit new people to your team just by purchasing them at the tavern or whatever. But you just point on the people that you want to attack, and you can move your characters around the screen just by pointing, and you kind of have to play a little strategically because you might have a cleric that's healing everybody, and you want to, you don't want the enemies to attack them. So you got to kind of like space people out around him, and you have your special attacks and your buffs and everything. And it's very good for $3.
This looks real. I'm looking at the screenshots right now. It does look very good. I wish you could, you know, share your saves between the iPad and the iPhone.
I know that drives you crazy, doesn't it?
That should be in part of Game Center. Cloud saving. Come on, Steve Jobs.
I'm having trouble finding GoGo Gadget.
You are?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's called, GoGo Gadget?
That's what it's called on the, when you look at it as an icon. I'm not sure what it's actually called.
I'll tell you what it's called.
It's all right. I can find it later.
No, just search for Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget's Mad Dash is what it's called. I'm sure everybody's rushing to find it.
I bet they are.
All right, let's move into the CAG bag. We got a lot of CAG bag questions here. So now we will read them and answer them.
That's how it works.
That's how it works, pretty much. E-Cherney writes in, and he says, "Hey, Cheapy," and I guess maybe this applies to everybody. "I was wondering today if you still feel that individual reviewers and writers on video game sites like IGN are insignificant in the larger scheme of things. You seem to be becoming more attached to writers on particular blogs, which may not extrapolate to the more mainstream sites. However, a few staff members at IGN have left over the past 8 months that have significantly decreased my enjoyment of their content, especially their Xbox podcast, to the point where I no longer listen and I am less likely to read their articles. Perhaps the medium was a method of conveying more personality than strictly writing would. Would love to hear everyone's thoughts on the CAGcast. Thanks for an awesome site." For a site the size of IGN or GameSpot, it doesn't really matter. They spend so much money on search engine optimization that they're always going to be getting traffic from Google. If you, you know, and certainly, you know, I can understand that holding true on a limited level, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, if everybody who listens to this show never goes to IGN ever again, it will not make any difference whatsoever to IGN.
And I can see somebody being more attached to someone who does a podcast there, because then there's more personality in that than what is in the writing that's on IGN.
Yeah, you become attached to that person. You know that.
Yeah, I read something on IGN, I can't tell who wrote it.
Right, and do you ever look at the, when you read a review on IGN, do you look at the byline?
No, it's just terrible. It's just so dry, the IGN style of writing, because they are a...
Not that last one. What was that last one, Wombat? That last one.
I know. I'm like, I wish I could remember.
Oh,
what it was.
It was Dead Space. It was Dead Space. Yeah. Dead Space 2. And that was horrible. But I think for the most part, people just don't care. But I know, like, when I go to Joystick and I read a review, I always look to see who wrote it. Maybe just because I know them.
I was going to say, I think
personally.
When you know someone personally, you look to see if it's their review. Because I do also, that also.
Yeah, maybe. But I tend to like certain people's reviews better. Like, I tend to like Justin McElroy's reviews. I mean, they're entertaining to read. I mean, I respect his opinion, of course, but his reviews are usually funny and entertaining, which they should be, I guess. Let's see. Killer Ramen writes in, and he wants to know what we think about Duke Nukem Forever. Amazon just started taking pre-orders for the Balls of Steel edition, and it's already sold out. Can this thing possibly be successful, or at least sell enough to justify making another one? Am I insane for pre-ordering the special edition? Have either of you guys seen the game?
I've heard good things about the game, actually, and I've seen bits and pieces.
I know nothing about it, but everything in my gut tells me that it's going to be pretty mediocre.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is, but I don't know.
I'd like to be wrong, but I just have this feeling that this game is just cursed, and it'll be like it won't be bad.
It's cursed
seven.
For the top 10 in the NPD when the month it comes out in.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's going to make top 10 NPD, no problem.
You think it will?
Yeah,
it
no will. Problem. It's definitely going to sell enough to justify making another game. That's the whole point in putting out this game.
And we still don't know how much, we don't know how much Gearbox paid for it.
I don't know. I feel like
and
people
how
don't
much
care.
Of the game was finished.
Like, but I feel like most people just don't care. I mean, yes, sure, people listening to the show, everyone knows, you know, Duke Nukem. But the average Joe, I think, they don't know anything about Duke Nukem.
Which
I
think the thing is going to be a really good commercial.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
For Duke Nukem.
You put out a commercial for it, and people are going to buy this game.
I put out a really good commercial for the people that don't know who Duke Nukem is, and the people who know who Duke Nukem is and that are interested in this story may buy it for just because of the story.
Hmm. When is this coming out?
Never.
May. It says May.
May.
All right. So do you think Duke Nukem is going to outsell Call of Duty?
No.
No.
In the month. In the month?
In May.
In May.
Comes out May 3rd.
That's interesting. Comes out right after.
You don't want to answer that now. You're going to want to wait a few months to see.
I'll wait. That'll be your top analyst. Yeah.
Yes, we're going to wait on that one. Shady Marino via Twitter writes in and he says...
You know, that's also Panther who made that thread about the analysts.
Shady Marino?
Yep, same person.
All right. He wants to know if the Kinect girl is now your favorite Double Dragons in the gaming industry. You know what? It's not even enough to get me to watch the show on the dashboard, so I'm going to say no. I mean, I don't have a favorite, but I'm going to say that even that will not overcome my lack of interest in the Kinect to get me to watch the videos more than one time that I already watched.
But how do you think she is in bed?
Well, that's hip hop gamers territory. I'm not.
Something she'll do something about putting something on something, isn't it? What he says.
Yes. Yeah. Put it. She's gonna put it on you.
Yes, I believe she would do that.
I don't know if she would.
I have no idea.
She's gonna put Kinect on you.
There you go. There's that guy who listens to the show. That's a friend of hers. Ask her how she is in bed.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
Oh, we did. Mm-hmm. I was tired last week.
That's right. You were tired. Air quotes. Yes.
Something happened and I got tired. Uh-huh. Viper139 writes in, he says, do you think the Gears of War 3 beta will have a large impact on the sales of Bulletstorm?
No.
I don't know. I don't think so either.
Yeah, I just don't think so.
I think the average Joe doesn't realize that they get the beta.
I mean, Gears of War is definitely a huge franchise. There's no argument there. I just don't know if people clamor over it like they do Call of Duty or Halo on the 360. I think the game will sell like hotcakes when it's released, but I don't think people are like, oh my god, I gotta play Gears now.
Right.
Which they had the release date for that today.
Yes.
Announced the release date. September 20th, I believe?
I think so.
That's earlier than what I thought it would be.
It's a solid release day.
Let's see what else we got. Bloss21 writes in and he says, Cheapy D, where do you want to see Cheap Ass Gamer at in 3 years?
The moon.
Yeah, Cheap Ass Moon Gamer.
I don't know. Owned by Amazon.
Owned by AOL.
Owned by AOL is the answer. Yes. Chris Schweiger wants to know if we have any plans to visit Detroit once the RoboCop statue is completed. That is not enough to get me to Detroit.
You mean you don't want to get shot?
I don't. I'll look at the pictures, I think.
That Eminem Chrysler commercial is enough to keep me out of Detroit.
Yeah. And I don't believe for a minute that Eminem drives a Chrysler.
Oh, I'm sure he does because I'm sure they gave him one.
I'm sure I still don't think he drives it. I think he drives it. I think he has a big demolition derby on his property somewhere and he uses that in his demolition derby.
Well, you know, maybe if he has to like pick someone up at the train station.
Nope. No. I think he's taking his Aston Martin.
I think
what if he's
having someone
running
else
out to the grocery to pick up some nasty brisk? Maybe he takes the Chrysler then?
Nope.
It really depends on how far away it is. I mean, if it's somewhere in the 8 mile away range, maybe.
Let's see what else we got. I didn't get it.
Oh, you really didn't get it? Because it was kind of a perfect response to that terrible joke.
Right, it was bad. I was ready to move on.
Yeah, no, it was just a bad joke.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad.
It was
Stephen Ra writes in, and he wants us to talk about the quickness that games go from release price to discount price. And he thinks that it seems to be happening more often. Shipwreck, what do you think?
A lot of games don't sell very well, so they go to discount prices.
I mean, Enslaved took 5 months to go from 60 to 20. That's pretty fast, as far as I'm concerned.
It's pretty fast. I mean, you're going to get a lot. We were talking about this a little bit earlier with the pricing. I mean, a lot of your sales are either going to be within the first 2 weeks. And then for titles like Enslaved that don't have the marketing, that don't have the buzz, I mean, you're not going to sell. They're just going to sit there on store shelves until you bite the bullet and reduce the price.
And even then, maybe it's too late. Maybe you release it at a cheaper price when it comes out.
I don't know. I mean, it does seem to happen a lot.
I think the problem with releasing a game at a cheaper price right now is that there is a consumer perception that if a game came out at $30, then it must be, oh, that's a budget title.
You know what, though? But I think people still, that's the low price is enough to overcome that perception. You know, like You Don't Know Jack. You know, people seem to be excited that it was a budget price.
Yes.
I wonder how that game would have done at $60, though.
Probably poorly. I wonder how it did it at 40. We'll find out, I guess.
I think was it 40 or was it 30?
I think Amazon had it for 30, but okay. I think the MSRP is 40. I'm not 100% on that. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Smitty5332. Oh, this is a good question for Wombat. I'm attending my first game convention next month, PAX East. What is one rule I should remember?
Condoms.
Yeah, there's only going to be a lot of eligible women there.
You know what? If you do see an eligible woman there, she's there for one reason, to get laid.
No.
No, she's not. She's there because she thinks no one's going to hit on her because single guys are too afraid. There's
one rule.
One rule, have fun. There you go. There's your one rule. Go to as many panels as you can, meet new people, and you will have a good time.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that those Nyko bags.
And get yourself, you have one.
I don't have one.
Shipwreck has one.
I don't have one. I gave one away at our party last year.
Oh, there you go. And I still have mine in the basement.
Let's see. This question we've covered before. Holy Enchilada wants to know how we feel about companies releasing DLC the day the game is released. Like Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm is DLC.
Bulletstorm put out?
I don't know. Something. It's pretty insulting. I'm personally insulted when they do that.
I know. It's let me enjoy what I bought.
Let me not feel like I got ripped off on the first day that I bought the game.
I bought your game today. Let me know that I have everything today. And then when I've enjoyed what I have, then say, hey, we see you're really loving what you got. It's a month later. We're going to make more because we know you love it. And then I'm on board. I'm like, yeah.
And, you know, we bought your game on day one, which means we probably paid full price or close to it. You know, maybe you hook us up with that shit for free. If you get it in the first week that, if you buy the game in the first week that it comes out, maybe you give us that DLC for free. How about that?
This doesn't make sense to me because I'm looking up the Bulletstorm DLC stuff, and I'm not sure he worded his question correctly, or maybe he was mistaken, but what happened was Bulletstorm announced that they have DLC coming today. So the DLC isn't coming till spring, and it includes 5 new maps and some weapons. That's fine.
Okay, so Bulletstorm may not be the good example. There's plenty other games.
The thing is, you still shouldn't release it. You still shouldn't make that announcement the day the game is released. What you should be focusing on the day your game is released is the game you just released, not the content that's coming out in the spring. It's not a selling point. No one's buying Bulletstorm today to go because they're saying, man, I can't wait to buy Bulletstorm so I can play that DLC in the spring.
Right. I mean, you may want to say, you know, we plan on supporting this game with DLC in the future, but I don't see why you would need to get any more detailed than that. I think it's
only
going to hurt you.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes you feel like, well, then should I wait till spring so I could get everything at once?
And it'll be cheaper.
I could get the game.
The game's going to be cheaper.
$30 probably by then. And the DLC, if that costs $10, I could get everything for $10 as opposed to getting everything for $70.
I understand the thought in announcing that DLC is coming, though, because you don't want people to – like, this is predominantly a single-player game, Bulletstorm is. It has some online, like, horde mode type stuff, but predominantly single-player. So you don't want people to play it and then
sell it
back.
Yeah, so just say we plan on supporting this game with DLC, and we'll make an announcement soon. You know, I don't know why you need to give us everything on the day the game comes out. It's just, it's a little insulting.
Yes, it is.
I think that's all I got.
I think that's all we need.
That's all we need. Let's see. Let's follow us on Twitter. GPD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck. It's easy. I got to take those Z's.
Yeah, you do.
I'll do it right now. That's the Holy Trinity right there.
It is. We're the best in the business.
Yeah.
I don't know what that business is, but we're the best in it.
Yep. Tentacle rape jokes.
Yeah. And 8 Mile jokes.
Yes. Review us on iTunes, please. We really appreciate it when you review us and subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps us in the rankings. And we also appreciate it when you use GoDaddy.com to register your domain names and use and get some web hosting. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. It's GoDaddy.com, bitches. And I think that's it. We'll see you next time.
Bread is done.
Small one.